what most people will see when they tune in the Republican conventions this week is the splash, flash, and hoopla of one of the major American political parties engaging in mostly a self-congratulatory exercise. What they won't see, however, is a growing movement led by poor and homeless people across the United States, and in particular, centered here in Philadelphia with the Kensington Welfare Rights Union. We talked with one of the leaders of KWRU, Willie Baptist. Willie, what's going on here this week in Philadelphia from the perspective of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union?
Well, what's happening here is the coming together of the spokesmen and politicians that represent, you know, the haves in this country. There's another party called the Democratic Party, and they basically tweedledee and tweedledum with regard to the interests of poor and the have-nots in this country, which is becoming a majority in this country. And we see that in their coming together in Philadelphia, along with something like 15,000 journalists, we see there's an opportunity and an obligation for us to take advantage of that moment to speak to some very desperate needs that is pushed upon an increasing segment of the American population. The problems of housing, the problems of downsizing, the problems of working two and three jobs, the problems of child care and child development in terms of education and so forth. These are real problems that exist, and we're sure that in their discussion and deliberation at both of the conventions that these problems will not be discussed. That all the hoopla about the economic gloom would not discuss the gloom that's behind that boom. And there is gloom. In our travels throughout the country and our organizing in these poor communities, in the shelters, and in the welfare offices and unemployment offices, in these poor and sweatshop-like conditions throughout this country, we see some real problems. We see a real extreme poverty that is gripping this nation, right in the midst of the wealth that is accumulating.
Kensington Welfare Rights Union is at the forefront of organizing for a new millennium, if you will. Mm-hmm. Talking about the combination of online organizing and traditional organizing, and that's what a lot of what we heard about today, the University of the Poor.
Yeah, the University of Poor is our response to the conditions that exist out there. We see that we're dealing with a very sophisticated group of people who control and dominate the economics and politics of this country, and that if we're going to deal in a way to change this country around and change the direction of this country, we have to be equally, or if not more, sophisticated. And so the concept of the University of the Poor is a way that we can identify the natural talent that's out there, pool of talent, rich reservoir of talent out there, and shape these potential leaders into generals of an army that can begin to change this country around and change it in the direction that it can become. I mean, this country has the productive capacity to ensure that everybody has the very basic needs, and not even just the basic needs, but really to prosper. But it takes movement, it takes organization, it takes education, it takes consciousness, and that the University of the Poor is one of the tools and one of the weapons we want to wield in shaping that consciousness and shaping that direction.
You bring up a very, very interesting and important point, and that is that these are movements, this is a movement that is led by the poor themselves, not some elite group of do-gooders who are saying, we're going to come and help you. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important point. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, in our study of history, and we do study history, those of us who are poor and homeless and despite all the stereotypes that we're lazy and crazy, that's not true. People are thinking human beings, and we're having to creatively do some very important things. In our study of history, we found that that strata of society that do not have stake in the status quo are in the best position, if made conscious, if united and organized, they're in the best position to lead the struggle to resolve the major problems that confronts us in any period in history. You look at the struggle against slavery. That was a struggle that was led by those who were oppressed by the slaveocracy. You know, the slaves, the former slaves and industrial classes and so forth, they came together and they changed slavery because they had an interest and a stake in changing slavery and had no stake in the system of slavery. Well, in every point in history, whether it was a struggle for industrial union rights, it was industrial workers, you know, propertyless, that got together and organized themselves and changed that situation. The struggle for women's rights, it was women. And every period in the history of this country, those who are most affected and dislocated by the problem that defined that period in history, once they were organized and made conscious and brought to the forefront of the struggle, that period in history was resolved and pushed forward. Now, in this period, the main contradiction that we are coming up against in every turn, whether in relationship to every other problem, is this problem of this ever-growing polarity and deepening gulf between the rich and the poor, this extreme poverty and extreme wealth. And that to resolve this problem, those who are most devastated and dislocated have to organize, have to unite, have to be made conscious and shaped into a political force that has to be reckoned with if this problem of poverty is going to be solved and this period in history is going to advance to the next stage. And the next stage is a stage of society where the fullest of the human accomplishment and achievement can be made available to everybody. With the advanced technology that exists and the tremendous wealth in this country, there's no reason why we should have babies and families living on the bridges in America, the richest country in the world.
If people wanted to get more information about the University of the Poor and the Kensington Welfare Rights Union, how could they do that?
Well, we have an award-winning webpage, and it's the address of that webpage is www.kwru.org. We also are evolving a webpage for the University of the Poor, which is www.universityofthepoor.org.
And it's not just about a movement of poor and homeless people engaging in social protest. It's also a political movement led in part by the Labor Party. We spoke with State Chair of the New York State Labor Party, Brenda Stokely. You were talking during the Labor Party forum this evening about some of the differences between the Labor Party and the Green Party, and in particular the candidacy of Ralph Nader. Can I get you to talk about that some more? I found that to be a tremendously interesting analysis.
Well, I think in terms of Ralph Nader himself, I think that he is a very committed person, and he has fought for change, and he's been very consistent. I personally might vote for him. I've never voted for a president since I've been able to vote, always in local elections. But I think what we're trying to do that's different from the Green Party and some of the other parties, and we're really trying to build a movement that can really bring somebody from within that can also hold that person accountable. I think that in the past, when third parties have been created, they've just rushed a call to try to get somebody to run for any level of office, but there really wasn't a broad-based movement, and it wasn't a movement that could hold people accountable. Therefore, what happens is even if someone is well-intentioned, they can go to office and they get enmeshed in the whole culture and process there in the politics, and they either become isolated or they become co-opted because there's no movement to support them or to hold them accountable. And so that's what we're trying to do, and that's different.
When we're talking about building that movement, can you talk a little bit more about that? I mean, how does that really strong, deep, and broad movement get built?
I think it has to be built almost literally block by block, state by state, by organized workers, unorganized workers. That's what we really have. It takes work. It takes consistent work. It doesn't take just sitting in meetings and talking about your program. And a lot of the third parties that exist, they are not reflective of this country. Most of them tend to be white. Most of them tend to be middle class. And they don't really have a working class base. And they really are not reflective of all the different people of color that exist in this country. And I think that that's the kind of party that we're trying to build. They're usually isolated in certain communities. They don't even represent a whole city. If they are based, the Green Party in New York City is based in certain zip codes. And most of those zip codes are not zip codes of people of color and working people.
When we look at the various protest movements that have happened over the last several months in Seattle, Washington, D.C., now here in Philadelphia, and soon to come in Los Angeles, talk about what that means from a Labor Party perspective.
I think that it means that there's a new generation of young people in particular who are becoming conscious and aware of issues that are happening in this country and in the world, and they're willing to organize around it. I have some concerns. I've spoken to some of the young students who are involved, like, for example, in a sweatshop. And there's something that they need to guard against, and that's paternalism. Because most of the people that they're talking about in the workshops are people of color. And when you ask them who is in your group that represents the people that you're supposed to be fighting for, they're not there. And so I think to build a broad movement, they need to do that. The other thing is that I think that it's the youthful theatrics are very important in terms of that's where youth are at. But when you get rid of the theatrics, what do you do when you go home? Okay, who are you talking to at home? And they don't really understand. Those of us who have really been in demonstrations where they don't just hit you with rubber bullets know the difference between being dragged off and beat and killed and left bloody. So I think people need to really get a clear view what it means to demonstrate. It's not just theatrics.
The movement, if you will, of really bringing leadership out of the communities that are most affected by all of these issues. That's really central with the Labor Party and with Kensington Welfare Rights Union, correct?
Right, it is. I think, first of all, I think that there's a lot of natural leaders that people don't hear about. Every day they're organizing in their own communities around different issues. And those are the people that we need to, because I think that someone that runs for office should have a history of struggle. They should be respected in their community. People should know them. They should not have to come and tell you what they stand for, because you should already know that, because you've seen it over the years. And that's the kind of party we're trying to build. So we run candidates, we want them to be those kind of candidates.
Reporting for the Western Slopes News Service from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I'm Mike Thornton.